There's something about Palm Sunday that just doesn't seem to fit. It was a significant entrance into Jerusalem at Passover, a very holy time of the year. Jesus had done a lot of teaching and preaching out among the common people. Jesus also chose to ride into the city on a donkey, precisely as had been foretold by their prophet Zechariah hundreds of years earlier. And for an hour or two, the event really looked good. People cheer, people wave palms, even throw their clothing on the road for his donkey to walk on. The crowd is made up mostly of people who might cheer for anything that offered even a little bit of hope for them. They were people who were barely holding on to life. Society had poverty that was rampant. These are a people who have been conquered and oppressed by more different countries than anyone could even remember. Even their religion at the time was driven by radicals, by sharp divisions, and by open corruption. So as a Hebrew, there wasn't much to shout about on those holy days. So yes, they were a people who were vulnerable. There were a lot of rumors about this Jesus, this new face, this new voice, maybe even some important new truth. Who knew? Maybe he really would be God's answer to all that is wrong. If there's any remote chance of that, of course we'll cheer. For really, what do we have to lose other than some more morale? Doesn't cost anything to cheer, does it? While it lasted, there was probably a little bit of everything in the cheering, the waving, and the singing. Again, some would have cheered for any outsider, anyone who was not a part of the entrenched Jerusalem establishment. They would just assume that whoever he was, would be better than virtually anyone in their religion or their politics. Others cheered, though, out of desperate hope that an honest-to-goodness intervention by God might actually happen before it was too late. And there was also his close followers and disciples. For them, it was now or never. And today, it seems maybe, just maybe, their dream of Jesus setting up a kingdom that included them, maybe that might come true after all. Maybe when Jesus experienced the enthusiasm and the affection of the crowd, it would reverse what had been his alarmingly glum mood. Maybe he would finally realize his potential, the extent of his popularity, his latent power to revolutionize Jerusalem. So they yelled Hosanna as he rides down the road. Now, Hosanna, by the way, was not, as one might guess, an ancient equivalent of saying hooray. It actually means save us. Which seems like a curious thing to yell. Save them from what? One wonders. We can only guess in our day and age, maybe save us from chronic boredom and depression and despair. Save us from all the stupid things that keep going wrong in our life and our world. Save us from fear and worry, which we constantly wrestle with. Save us from the rage and the resentment that eats away at us from within. Well, whoever you are on that donkey, do any of that for us, and we'll be behind you all the way. Even with the excitement and the gratifying enthusiasm, this parade just wasn't coming off. It lacked the pizzazz, the pomp, the triumph of previous figures who'd managed to take that city by storm. Measured against them, this one wasn't going to amount to much. Now this one on the donkey was not dashing enough. He was too serious. He wasn't even smiling. In fact, some said that there were tears running down his cheeks. And then when the procession came to the front of the temple, instead of having a climactic, stirring, unforgettable speech, Jesus got off the donkey, went into the temple courtyard, and made a disruptive scene over the temple fundraising methods. And that was it. It just fizzled. And it was more than disappointing to those who had welcomed him with their heart and their soul. It was frustrating, even infuriating, to have their hopes toyed with like that. We can be certain that Jesus didn't care a lot for it either. Riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, just like the prophet Zechariah had said, it had to be one of his most excruciating decisions. Somehow, though, even if it killed him, he had to explode that illusion that good old God was going to swoop in and make everything that worried him go away. He had to show them that God was not going to vindicate the religious people and punish the rest. Jesus wanted to show them that building a religion around waiting for a miracle to make everything right and nice was the last thing that these people needed. Now, if he had any doubt about that, the crowds yelling, "Hosanna, save us," would have driven home the need to eliminate their hope for some kind of divine rescue operation. Even so, disillusioning people is unpleasant work, even if it's done for their own good. So with tears in his eyes, Jesus rides that donkey into town, as Zechariah had said. And then, although it must have torn him apart, he deliberately lets the whole celebration fall flat. It was a painful but a surgical thing to do. It helps us to see how a few days later, many of those same people were yelling for his crucifixion. In fairness to them, though, those ancient people's expectation of what God is supposed to do for us is still around. It's still present in this room. Most of the time it's a little more subtle, but the belief that it's God's job to rescue the respectable and the devout, the believing, the God-fearing from their problems, rescue them from their griefs and troubles, that's still with us. Hosanna, save us, God, from having to change so that there can be positive changes in our world. Save us or deliver us from the consequences of prejudice that still lurk within us. The injustices we wink at. You can do that, can't you, God? Save us from having to do something. Save us from having to spend something or stand for something or risk something in order for our lives to be relevant and make a difference. As the God of creation, you must know some way of doing that for us. I mean, we're your chosen people. Now, one could go on and on like that. Cheap religion is what we're talking about. And when that afternoon in Jerusalem, people realized this was not what Jesus was about, his popularity took an immediate and a very nasty plunge. You do see then, don't you, that Palm Sunday was not some nice afternoon parade in the park, showing that at that point people did think that Jesus was a nice guy. It was all part of the lead up to Jesus' execution only 5 days later. It's not difficult to see why, if we're basking in happy religious fantasies of heavenly rewards, miraculous favors, cheap peace, easy answers. We don't want to come to a term with a God like this. A God who only works through us, not for us. If I've concocted a sweet little religion pursued mainly to discover how God might be useful and relevant to me, I may not take well to having that turned around and be asked how relevant I am to God. If I've convinced myself that all the spirituality and godliness is really about being comforted and reassured, I may have difficulty accepting the fact that it really isn't all about me, about my stresses, about my worries, my moods, my self-esteem. You do see why that might be a problem, don't you? I mean, what do we need a God for if it's still true that the problems of injustice or of the hungry or of the homeless are predominantly in our job descriptions? What use is God to me if I still have to go through all of the difficult commitments, the self-giving, the tough struggle, the worry, the concern, all the stuff like that? Instead of God leading me to the path of sublime serenity. The God I want, the God I believe in, rescues me. He soothes me. He reassures me. He protects me. He isn't forever pushing me into demanding kinds of personal growth. I didn't sign up for that kind of God. So because Jesus insisted on disillusioning these easy believers, that following Friday it got really ugly. But thank God. Thank God later, when it was all over, there were a few, a precious few, who understood. And what they understood ignited their imaginations. In fact, it transformed their very lives. They were and are the ones who spend themselves, the ones who risk themselves, who keep at it even when it isn't getting them anything. They're the ones that get carried away, the ones who don't know when they're licked, who get knocked down and somehow get never knocked out. They're the ones who, in short, become the very sons and daughters of God. My hope this Palm Sunday is that you and I are among them. Amen.